Good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate the introduction from John, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this afternoon about a very critical problem that many groups are fighting globally. The group I will describe to you is the Financial Coalition Against Child Pornography. It started in 2006, largely as a U.S. initiative, although we do have a good number of global companies involved. We're very active now in expanding the network and the concept to other parts of the globe, and it's very nice to see my colleague from Sweden, Per Aki, because we've seen each other at a couple of meetings in Stockholm, which is a very nice city, by the way. So what I'd like to do is just tell you quickly about the sponsoring organizations for the coalition, and then a little bit about the problem we're trying to solve, and then I'll tell you about the coalition. As John mentioned, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is based just down the highway in Alexandria. I would assume that some of you in the room are familiar with this organization, since we work very closely with the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security to provide services for families and law enforcement in the United States. The National Center is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, and plays a role, or originally was started to play a role, to link law enforcement across the country so that everyone could do a more effective job of helping to find children who have been abducted and gone missing. The group has expanded its mandate, and in addition to supporting law enforcement and missing children, we also focus on child sexual exploitation issues. In 1998, the United States Congress asked the National Center to set up a hotline or a 911 for the internet, which we call the Cyber Tip Line. The Cyber Tip Line receives reports from the general public and internet service providers when they find suspicious sites or other elements that have to do with child exploitation on the internet. The sister agency is the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children, also based in Alexandria. We work to combat child abduction and child sexual exploitation globally. Some of the ways we do that is by providing training and assistance to law enforcement, legal professionals, governments, and NGOs around the world, as well as advocating for changes in laws and treaties and systems to help protect children worldwide. A quick side note, particularly since so many people at this conference have a background and an interest in research, the International Center compiled a study and released it initially in 2006, and it actually has been updated 5 times. You can find it on the website www.icmec.org. This is a study of child pornography laws around the world in 187 Interpol member countries. And what we found is more than half have no laws at all that speak to child pornography specifically. So part of our work is to try to build a global landscape that is more consistent and more effective when it comes to fighting child pornography. A little bit about the problem. The Financial Coalition Against Child Pornography is focused on commercial child pornography. There is a very robust trade of these images and videos between the offenders the fans of this stuff, where no money changes hands. It's peer-to-peer trading and things like that. What we focus on is the commercial, a lot of times it's organized crime, that collects these images and sells them, or collects these videos and sells them for subscription prices, and people buy monthly or yearly subscriptions to these websites. It is a global problem. It has been fueled by electronic payment tools like credit cards, debit cards, PayPal, Western Union, as well as newer currencies that are popping up. When we talk to people about this problem, I doubt this is true with this group, but other groups will say to me, well, isn't this really adult entertainment or adult pornography where women might be dressed up to look like teenagers or underage girls? And that is not the case. Tragically, there is a study recently done that the National Center was affiliated with that looked at the images held by the people arrested, and 83% of those arrested were holding images of children 6 to 12 years old. 39% had images of children 3 to 5 years old, and 19% had images of infants and toddlers under the age of 3 being raped and sexually abused. And probably the individuals who are on the front lines fighting this will tell you that those trends are getting worse and not better. Why is this a business? Why do we put together a coalition of internet and financial companies that has anything to do with child pornography? If you can step away from the emotion of the problem and look at it from an economic standpoint, children around the world are plentiful and easily accessible, unfortunately. Child pornography is easy and inexpensive to produce because of technology today. There is a very significant consumer market for this in the United States and outside of the United States. It is enormously profitable, and there's virtually no risk, although I can tell you point number 5, we are changing that through the very concerted efforts of law enforcement around the world, as well as help from private industry, which is where we come in. These are some of the solutions to fight the problem, and I'm going to talk to you about the last bullet. The Financial Coalition Against Child Pornography has one goal, which is to disrupt the economics of this business. Law enforcement, arrest, prosecution is always the first priority in anything that we do, but this is a civil initiative. So it was formed on the premise that we cannot arrest and prosecute our way out of this problem. So in 2006, Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, who at the time was the head of the Senate Banking Committee, convened a meeting of some of the credit card and financial companies and said, if we were buying and selling heroin and cocaine over the internet and people were using their credit cards, we would do something about it, and this is far worse. So I'm happy to report that the companies have stepped up to the challenge. This is a list of our current members, and it might be hard to read, so I'll read off some of the names for you. The American Express Company, Banco Bradesco of Brazil, Capital One, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank Americas, Discover, Google, HSBC North America, JP Morgan Chase, MasterCard, Microsoft, PayPal, Visa, Wells Fargo, Western Union, and Yahoo. Importantly, you'll see it's a collection of internet companies and financial companies because together we all do a much better job of fighting this problem. Each of the companies on the list does whatever they can to fight the problem, but we have learned that we can really make much more progress if we share information and help one another. In 2006, the first priority was to develop a process for undercover credit card transactions in collaboration with law enforcement. A little bit of background. If a company like Visa or MasterCard or one of the banks suspects fraudulent transactions on their system, the security and risk people at those companies will do an undercover transaction themselves to follow the flow of funds and find the bad players who are in the payment stream. In the United States, the mere attempt of purchasing child pornography is a crime. So if you're working for MasterCard's security department, you can't do an undercover test transaction, or you're going to have the FBI knocking on your door saying you have an employee who's trying to access child pornography. So because of the relationships that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children had and has with law enforcement, we were able to recruit Immigrations, Customs and Enforcement, FBI, and some other law enforcement agencies to help us out with undercover transactions. Then we built out that tip line that I mentioned to you to accommodate information from the financial companies. Something I want you to keep in mind is that all of the sharing of the data is well within privacy and data protection laws. We have a lot of lawyers at every meeting, and they keep us honest. Also, the process is to follow the merchant side of the payment stream, not the consumer side. Any action that might be taken against consumers would be taken by law enforcement. What we're after is to shut down the payment account that a merchant has fraudulently opened, let's say, on the credit card system. How am I doing on time, John?
10 minutes.
Okay, great, thank you. I'd like to take you quickly through the cyber tip line process so you get a sense of how the financial services companies interact with this. A URL is reported into the cyber tip line, as I mentioned, by a member of the general public or an internet service provider, and that can be done by phone or via the internet. An analyst at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children visits the website and confirms that it is commercial child pornography. An undercover financial transaction is conducted by law enforcement. Right now, we're doing them with credit card accounts that have been contributed by some of the banks who are members. Specific details of that transaction are provided to the payment company. So an American Express or a PayPal or a Discover will get an email or an alert that says, such and such a date, an undercover transaction was performed by ICE for this child pornography website. Please keep an eye out for when that transaction goes through. And sometimes it doesn't go through, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. When the transaction goes through, the payment company isolates it and identifies the business and the location of the merchant responsible for selling the child pornography. The payment company then goes into the cyber tip line. This is through a virtual private network, a very secure network, and only very specific companies have access to it. They amend the original report to include information on the merchant, like city, state, location, or country, also the merchant bank, city, state, country, etc., and other details. The completed cyber tip line report is available to federal law enforcement for 10 days, where they can take the tip and say, we're going to add it to an ongoing investigation, or they won't tell us the exact details, but they say, we're going to keep this. And if that is the case, I beg your pardon, if that is the case, if law enforcement indicates further action, the entire process stops, and the financial industry is notified of a possible investigation, and then they're given instructions about what to do next as it relates to that merchant account. In box number 8, if law enforcement declines to take the tip, the financial company is alerted and pursues the violation of association rules or merchant agreements that they would do under normal conditions when they find illegal content on their system. That basically means that they contact the merchant bank and say, you have this player on your system who is selling this contraband. Please close down that merchant account immediately. And that is what happens. So what I've just described to you is the backbone of what we do in the Financial Coalition. But we have found that it is a great form for helping each other in other ways, such as disseminating trend information and other data about these websites. It might include price points. It might include keywords that the commercial child pornography trade now uses to attract people to their sites. And so we send out these alerts, this type of information, so that an AOL, a Yahoo, a MasterCard, everyone is able to run this information against their systems and do a better job of cleansing their systems of these businesses. We have also published 2 thought leadership pieces, a white paper and a best practices document, and we have found a lot of benefit in aligning with other industries, in this case specifically the mobile telephone and mobile provider industry in the form of the GSMA based in London, as they try to get ahead of the mobile internet being available on phones and people accessing this content via phone. So more and more we are collaborating with that industry. Now people will ask us, okay, you've been in existence since 2006. How do you know anything is happening as a result of your efforts? They ask us quite often, what about arrests? We do not measure our success by arrests. Because we are a civil initiative, but the things I can tell you is that the subscription prices to these websites has gone much, much higher. It used to be $29.95 a month. Now they can be $300, $500. Sometimes we see prices as high as $1,200. It's increasingly difficult for law enforcement to do an undercover chess transaction with a traditional payment tool, meaning credit cards, debit cards, PayPal, etc. And if it's more difficult for them to do it, we've got to assume that the average consumer is having trouble as well. We've gotten very good feedback from law enforcement, and fewer commercial child pornography sites are being reported into the National Center's cyber tip line. But this is a global problem, and it requires a global solution. We have been very active in regions around the world, supporting efforts in any way we can. You can't just take this U.S. model and plop it down into another country for a host of reasons. But there are things we've learned, successes we've had, challenges we've had that we are sharing with other regions of the world, and we are making great progress. You'll hear more about the Swedish Financial Coalition, and we've played a small part in that, and we're very proud of that and proud of where that group is headed. And a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, I got back from Tokyo, where there is significant interest in the Asia-Pacific region and some things brewing in Latin America. That's going to take a little while longer. I very much appreciate your attention and would be happy to answer questions or have further the conversation after our speakers are finished. Thank you very much.